You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
This is a very special episode of TFL Talking Trucks because we have not two people in the studio today, but three.
Yep, that's three for 300, Andre.
Yes, the Spartans.
The Spartans. We are the Spartans.
Oh, God, we're so far from the Spartans.
Okay, we're not the Spartans.
Did the Spartans drive trucks, Andre?
No, they drove chariots.
And elephants and stuff, yeah.
Chariots, right?
What was the payload on a chariot, and how much could it tow?
I don't know.
About six horses.
So why is 300 so special, dude?
Well, this is our 300th episode. On this episode, of course, in the studio I have Roman, I have Mr. Truck.
Yay!
We haven't seen Mr. Truck in quite a while, but we're going to be talking about some very interesting numbers, because the sales data recently came out, and we were surprised by what we saw in the market for pickup trucks.
I was surprised many times.
Many times?
Many times.
Roman, were you surprised?
I was shocked, Andre. I wasn't just surprised. I was shocked.
Were you flabbergasted?
I was, because two of the formerly best-selling trucks have now plummeted, well, relatively plummeted in sales, and then another segment of trucks is on fire. So I think we're going to talk about all that. But I'm so happy to have you here, Kent. It's great
thanks
for you to join us again. It's been way too long.
Yeah, I was hanging out in my crib.
We should do a Cribs episode with Kent.
So, yeah, we're going to be talking about a few stories. At the end of this episode, our friend and colleague Nathan, he actually prepared a message for us.
He's going to be regaling us with some fun stories from doing videos. Unfortunately, he was unable to join us. He's in California. Yeah. But he did send in a video postcard talking about some of the most interesting and, I'm going to say, funniest stories from his experiences in doing, you know, video reviews of trucks. So shall we get into it, gentlemen?
And I just wanted to bring up Case really quick. Case is not here because he's actually dynoing some cars and trucks right now, right?
Well, he's dynoing the Viper.
But that's like almost a truck engine, right?
Well, it became a truck engine. Yeah, so there's a tenuous connection there. But yes, Case is dynoing what became a truck engine. And that video will be, of course, on alltfl.com. So, Andre, let's just get right into it and start with the truck news. Now, you've been a busy beaver because you have. Actually, before we do that, Kent, what have you been up to? Let's start with that.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I put a new deck on the house.
Wow.
I did have the Ford Maverick Lobo last week.
Yeah, and what did you think
of it? Were you doing drifting?
I didn't even play with that. I figured out what it did, but actually, we went to the mountains, but I had my wife, Carol, Mrs. Truck,
yes,
sit in the back seat. And fortunately, her legs are like flamingos. Otherwise, she never could have got in there. And so
I kind of feel like giving you a Lobo is like giving, I don't know, I was going to say ice to an Eskimo, but it's the exact opposite. It would be like giving
a chariot to a Spartan?
Giving a chariot to a Spartan?
Driving a go-kart, 5 foot bed.
It doesn't seem like the right truck for Mr. Truck.
No, I would never sit in that back seat.
No, what about the front seat, though? Because Maverick sales are on fire, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, 120,000 trucks in the first three quarters. And my wife's grandfather, who's 97, just bought a Maverick.
Really? Well, they're
97 years old.
You see them all over the road.
Oh, I figured it out. It was Cole's quote. Cole, this is your quote. Giving fish hooks to fish. That's what it's like giving a Maverick to Mr. Truck? Because let's face it, Kent, you're a big truck guy.
Well, yeah, but it was, it's a little truck, but.
And it's also a sport truck.
Yes, that's what it was. I like the wheels on it.
Okay, good.
And that turbo, it actually has some soup, but, you know, I had the first one that came out, and it was a hybrid, which I really liked. I took that to Vegas, and at 80 miles an hour, I was getting 50 miles to the gallon. I love
that's
that.
That's the hybrid. Beauty of it. Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
This one's the gas, no hybrid, and it's an all-wheel drive and all that stuff. But, there's a bunch of little things on it that drive me nuts. But anyway.
Driving me nuts about the Lobo? I like the Lobo, okay? I think Ford is trying. They're kind of trying to talk to enthusiasts. They're coming out with these interesting vehicles, not just the Lobo, but in a lot of their different categories. But the problem with the Lobo is, as a sport truck, right, which is what it is, mm-hmm. as a drift truck, it's actually no quicker than a regular
and not more powerful.
What's the point of coming out of the sport truck and making it as powerful as the hybrid or as powerful as a non-hybrid, right? That's kind of silly. What's the value there? I guess if you want to look cool.
Yeah, I suppose maybe the teenage market bump. The one I had was $42,000.
It's also expensive, yeah.
Very expensive. Yeah, the first one came out at $19,000. Now, that was impressive, but $42,000 is like a full-size pickup.
Here we see Kay's drifting a Maverick Lobo in California at the event.
Cool.
So we also have some experience with it.
Same color I have.
You know what will make me buy that?
Mm.
If they stuck a supercharger on it. Get rid of the turbo, stick a big old supercharger on it.
How about the Coyote V8?
Side pipes? Yes. Well, I'm not going to get a coyote in that thing. How about side pipes? You could just do a small supercharger, side pipes, you know, maybe a spoiler on the back. Now you got something instead of a truck that has the exact same powertrain than every other Maverick. Now, having said that, I love the Maverick. We own one, as you know. We own the all-wheel drive hybrid.
Yeah.
And I drove that as my daily truck for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Really was sad to see it go because it's such a useful little thing. When my mom passed away, I had to clean out her condominium.
Yeah.
And I did like 40 trips to – it's amazing how much stuff you collect over a lifetime. 40 trips to the Salvation Army, donating all her stuff. And that truck was perfect. The liftover was easy, so it wasn't hard to get stuff into. Yeah. Okay, I had to do a lot more trips because, of course, the bed is small.
Well, yeah, it's like a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, but you know what? It's good enough for doing multiple trips. And because it gets such fuel economy, like you said, we're getting like, over 40, right, MPG with that thing.
Plus 46 sometimes.
Plus we have the all-wheel drive for in Colorado, which is good.
Yeah.
And I like the color combination. Ours was the Eruption Green, which is this like dark green, and we actually had it paired to like this blue interior, which seems like a Lamborghini color combination, right? Where you're taking green and blue, they don't go together, but I kind of liked it. It was kind of quirky and fun.
Yeah.
It was a fun truck.
What I liked the best about it is it had a radio.
Yes.
The first one I had, you'd get
they all have radios.
The first one didn't. You can do that CarPlay or the Spotify.
Are you saying it didn't have FM and AM?
No, it didn't have anything. They give you a Spotify to plug into it to listen to Spotify. It didn't have a radio.
You're talking about the concept one?
It was 19,000, Roman.
Yeah, 19,000.
Oh, the 19,000 didn't have a radio?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a bargain, huh?
Oh, you also didn't have cruise control. Remember this?
Yeah.
The original Maverick didn't have cruise control.
This has adaptive cruise control and lane departure and all that fun stuff.
I got to talk about that. You know, Tesla is now coming out, and I know I went way left here, guys. As truck guys, we don't care. But
what?
But I'll bring it back. Trust me, I'll bring it back, okay? Hold on. We'll bring this back. So Tesla now just came out with the cheapest Tesla you could buy. And what they basically did was they decontented a Model Y so that it doesn't have full self-driving. It doesn't. I just never think as a strategy that works. Whether it's a truck or a car, I don't like it when manufacturers decide that the way to build a cheap vehicle is to take an already existing vehicle and just strip all the stuff that people want out of it. I just think that's a really silly marketing maneuver. What do you guys think? Discuss among yourselves.
Well, that's the demographics of it. They figured that series of people will buy it no matter what they do it. Now, like a truck, a lot of XLs or base models or work trucks all sell that crazy for a lot of
people. But they're not decontented. They maybe don't have bigger wheels. Maybe they don't have the nicer interior, but you still get a radio with them.
well, my Chevy Colorado didn't have cruise control. Remember?
Yes, well, that was your fault. We won't hammer that one down. Well, but that was you didn't check the right box, Andre. That wasn't you did the decontenting there.
I would buy a Tesla if it had crank windows.
You would.
You know, if I had to go like this in my Tesla and crank it down?
Well, let me bring it back, okay? Because I promised to bring it back to trucks.
Yes.
As you know, guys, the slate is coming, and that's basically a decontented truck, right? It's going to be a truck that doesn't have any of the usual stuff the trucks have. Do you think that that will sell?
I don't think it will sell well because it's a two-door. I don't think
it's not the content, it's the number of doors.
Yeah, because the most popular trucks, even the Maverick, has four doors. What do you think, Mr. Truck?
Who makes Slate?
Slate.
Slate makes her own truck. Okay.
Yeah, that's
it's a new company.
It's a company that's partially backed by Jeff Bezos, so people are taking it seriously because, of course, Jeff has a lot.
There's a lot of money behind it.
Yeah.
So but do you think? I mean, it's a kind of a miniature,
it's a
miniature
box,
little
yeah.
thing.
It's
all electric, of course. You can basically up content it as much as you want. So one of the selling points of this is it just comes across. You can also turn it into a little SUV. It comes with basically nothing, and then you could take those panels and you could swap them out. You could add.
But look, also all the panels have bolts and screws on the outside. So you can take the panels off, you can replace them, you can change the color.
Kind of like a smart car in the past.
Almost like a Lego brick.
Is it bigger than a Maverick or smaller than a Maverick?
It's a little smaller.
It's a compact truck.
Yeah, that's
not your thing?
No, that's a go-kart. I don't
know. All right, there you have it. Mr. Truck has spoken. Jeff, the upcoming slate is a go-kart, so...
Take it to the bank.
Yeah, you'll see it on golf courses, and that's it.
All right, so let's kind of bring it.
There you can see there's no radio.
Yeah, there's a phone. You could put a phone in there.
Wow.
See? Yeah.
But
I don't know.
How about if that was $25,000? Would you pay for that?
It's supposed to be $27,500.
Okay.
Really?
Starting.
Yeah.
Starting.
No, there's too many other things you can buy for that.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like a Ford Fiesta, if you could still buy one.
In Europe, maybe. You could buy one in Europe.
All right, keep going.
So let's kind of turn it to full-size trucks, Cole. So if you go to tfltruck.com, so what happened recently, the third quarter of sales is closed, right, in September. So we usually look at that pretty closely because we kind of like to judge, who's doing really well in sales, who's not doing so well, and trying to figure out why all of this is happening. So we should look at full-size trucks first, right?
Yeah, that's where the kind of the surprise came in. So two full-size trucks, in other words, half tons, really kind of fell off the sales map. And when I say fell off, it's more than 10%, which in a segment where, manufacturers fight for a half a percent to lose 11% of sales
is pretty big.
So you wanna break the news, which truck lost sales?
Yes. So the truck that specifically lost sales, and Cole also has that here, is Ram Heavy Duty. So Ram Heavy Duty recently had a refresh, a little bit of new style, a new Cummins engine, right? A new transmission.
Yes.
They lost 11% in the third quarter. And I mean, partially it could be because it's a new truck coming
out. So that's a full-size truck, so it's an HD truck.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought we were talking full-size, so that's my mistake, guys. Sorry.
Well, there's also another one full-size.
Okay.
They're both full-size.
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
Full-size is a three-quarter ton.
But, those rascals, that's probably what it is because it's the end of the year and they're coming out with a new one. Everybody knows they're coming out with a new one. But are they going to do a classic like they did before on their other ones or half-tons?
Sorry, HD is three-quarter ton. I'm confusing people.
Thanks, Roman. Yes.
So I literally thought that the Ram was the 1500, not the 2500.
So Ram, if you can see the data. So finally, Ram has separated their light-duty 1500 trucks full-size from the heavy-duty sales.
Right.
So we have a little bit more specific data. GM is also doing that. They're separating their heavy duties from their full-size. Ford is not. So Ford is
That's Ford, It's like GM separates Ford separates the GM's trucks, and it always goes against one of them.
Yes.
But you put them together, and they always beat Ford. It's ridiculous. And that's why Ford would include every truck they had, including the 450 they could put in that number. That's what they do.
Well, so, it's marketing.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, everybody wants to say, I have the best-selling truck in the world.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
So Ford says it for the F-Series. as the name of truck, right? Yeah. But if you put, you know, if you look at our page here, when you put Chevrolet and GMC together, like you were saying, they outsell the Ford.
Yeah. All right, so let's go back to the numbers. So the Ram, the brand new Ram
Heavy Duty
HD 2500 with the Cummins is down 11%.
And 3500, yes, those are included.
Yeah. So is that because of supply constraints, or is that because of switching over from, you know, the old truck to the new truck, or is that just because people aren't buying it?
So I think switch over is part of it.
Yeah.
Right. Also, it's built in Mexico. Every Ram Heavy Duty.
Oh, it has the tariffs, or does it?
Yeah. So it has a little bit of a tariff issue. I'm thinking as well, because pricing is very competitive still. So if you look at competitive GM Heavy Duty versus Ram, or the Ford Super Duty versus Ram.
I'm going to turn the light on. It feels dark in here. Hold on.
What light? So,
well, you know, though, too, that has that new transmission. And I thought people would be excited to go from, what, a 6 to an 8?
Yes.
In a different style. And I thought the commercial guys would still go nuts over it. Of course, does that mean that the commercial side of the world is slowing down? House building, road construction, something's going on, because they buy a lot of Dodges.
Or Rams,
I mean. They changed their name. Yeah. So anyway.
We're showing our age, unfortunately.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I'm surprised, me, because the construction guys, they have a whole different world. Because, you know, you don't hardly see rebates on heavy duties. They're always on a half tons. So they're used to paying a little more money. But why in the world would they drop off like that? There's something in there. There's a conspiracy going on here somewhere.
But there's another full-size truck that's down on sales.
Oh, yes.
There is another. There's another one.
All right, there's
another one.
How much? What percentage?
It's not a surprise.
It's down 7.9% in the last quarter compared to previous year, and it's the Toyota Tundra.
People hate that truck.
What? Why?
That's just how it is. A lot of reasons. The gas tank's on the wrong side. A lot of things are wrong about that truck.
No, but the filler's on the right, on the correct side.
Yeah, I know. But you know, the dash had problems. All the big screens have had problems. And people, when that came out, were all looking for the old truck, trying to get that V8. You know,
I think Toyota has. I think you put your finger on it, Kent. I think Toyota has an engine issue, and it's not just with the. Well, I shouldn't say that because the Kona is selling really well, but I think especially in the half ton, people value V8s, and when they went to the, even though Ford did it a long time ago, when they went to the hybrid six cylinder, people just missed that old V8 because that old V8 was bulletproof. And the new Tundra has had, as we know, engine issues. I think that's also hurting them.
There was a recall for 100,000.
Yeah. And I think that has probably shaken the bulletproof nature of Toyota's to its core. And I think that may be a reflection of that. Or it could just be that, you know, where are they built? Those are built in San Antonio, right?
Yeah, all Tundras and Sequoias are built in Texas, San Antonio.
That's not a bad thing, but
no, it's not.
So they shouldn't be hit by tariffs, but that doesn't mean they're not going to hit by tariffs because the parts could be coming from Mexico.
Yeah, but I think what's the difference between Tundra and all the other big three, you know, Ram, GM, and Ford, is that those big three have a lot of engine options.
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
Many, many engine options, right?
Yeah. Toyota has nothing. You have one transmission and one engine.
Well, they have a hybrid version of one.
Well, yeah.
Right. So they do have a little bit of choice. But, you know, you can get two different V6s from Ford. You can get a V8. You can get a supercharged V8 in the Raptor R.
Right.
So they have, and you have a diesel engine in the light duty, a GM, 3-liter Duramax, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I think so. Toyota may be struggling with this. Not enough choice.
Right. That takes them clear out of the commercial market because they want a lot more stuff than what Toyota's offering them.
Yeah. Right, so that might be an issue.
Can you go through the numbers for the other full-size trucks? I'm not talking about heavy duties. I'm talking about the F-150, the Silverado.
We don't have F-150 numbers because they don't separate them.
How about Silverado? Same problem? They put it together with the Canyon?
No. So GM has separated their heavy-duty sales from the light-duty.
The problem is people watching this can see this, but if you're listening to it, you can't.
Yeah, and I don't want to read the spreadsheet on this podcast, but what I do really want to point out is that if you combine all full-size and heavy-duty pickup truck sales, they were up overall by 3.7%.
Yeah.
So when some people are saying, oh, the economy is, you know, declining, it's not doing so well. But if we look at the diesel and gasoline sales, they're up significantly.
That's interesting. I'm surprised it was. Well, we know that the Titan isn't up. it's down well, by 97%.
Remember the Titans?
I remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans? Yeah. Well, the Titans discontinued.
Yeah.
So I bet that's you there's still something on BOR somewhere. I bet you somewhere some dealer has a Titan or two hiding in the back of the garage where you could potentially buy. You know, you know how that is. Even when a car is discontinued or a truck, there's always some that get sold like a couple of years after.
Oh, yeah. That number they might go sold up to 220 or 120.
They sold 118 Titans last quarter.
I figured,
so they found them. They found something.
And all of them are in Nashville. Have you been to Nashville, Ken?
Yeah, I have.
Have you seen how many Titans are running around Nashville?
I know. They gave them away free, I think.
Yeah, because that's where Nissan is.
Was that where NATDA was?
Yeah.
In Nashville, yeah. She just went to the trailer show, an accessory show.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's segue to
that.
Let's
switch gears a little bit.
Yeah, so you went, what does NADA stand for?
North American Trader Dealer Association.
Okay, so you went to Nashville. Tell me about what was there?
Trailers and traders, the whole room, it's a big convention center.
Yeah.
It had, I don't know, thousands of traders. It's unbelievable. And then it had a few small booths, but everybody wants these big trailers. The trailers are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, all of them, dump trailers, flatbeds. There is even some really cool stuff out there for the accessory world. One guy out there, and they had him in a hallway because he was new. But he has invented a receiver hitch. You go and stuck it in your truck, and it's power, and it's electric. It goes up and down.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart. Check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states, thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
So instead of like an air suspension helping you, it's an actual device on the hitch can lift it up.
So all those old people will love that because we don't have to go through and crank the jack or anything. But two, you can leave your jack laying on the ground, it goes underneath it and lifts it up. So you never have to even move the jack up and down. You just drop it off.
Was that hitch pretty heavy?
No, it was like 80 pounds, which it's solid metal. Every piece of
that solid
metal.
I want to see you lift 80 pounds over your head.
I used to lose 300 pounds when I was your age. But no. No, but and they had that other guy that's really cool there. It has a jack. It's a trailer jack with your drill, and it's got gears in it. And so, that one it will sell like crazy. They sent me one, so I'm going to put it on my trailer and see what it's like. But, it's different. What kills me about that, I think they use Ford's marketing team because every year they tell you it's bigger no matter what. It's bigger. And there's more sales and more stuff. And I don't think
Did you see any, like, consolidation where – were there fewer like conglomerate companies that own a lot of trailers, or was there still kind of like small manufacturers coming in?
Yeah, did you see anything like that? The big guys were there, but a couple of the companies now are going to Mexico to build their horse trailers, which, you know, there's a controversy over that. PJ went over there with their flatbeds and all that, but yeah, two of them, that one of them sells them in Colorado and they go to Mexico and it's like a composite trailer, but why would he even go there with the tariffs that high and nobody knows what's going on? And, you know,
are you seeing more bumper pull or fifth wheel or gooseneck? Where do you think it's going?
Goosenecks.
Yeah, goosenecks.
Yeah, just like me when I was a kid, I had a bumper pull. I was so happy when I got my first gooseneck. They back up easier, they tow easier, and it's a better deal. Then it's better on your truck.
Yeah, but they're also more expensive.
Well, yeah.
You know, you don't see a lot of Tundras with gooseneck trailers on them.
No.
Maybe that's an issue.
You don't see a lot of half tons with goosenecks.
Right. I've seen a few of them. They do make RVs just for that market. But anyway, it was interesting. But what kills me is a day and a half thing. I did 10 videos in a day and a half. It's just like running. And I don't run, but anyway.
Well, that's interesting because auto shows are kind of declining, right, Roman?
Yeah.
But there's still a couple of trailer association shows a year.
Yeah.
And that's interesting that you saw a lot of action there.
Yeah, they're staying about the same. A lot of people, that's the only place they can sell trailers or get new dealers. Well, it's all about getting new dealers. So they go there to show off their stuff and try to sign more people up. And all the accessory people go there and sign more people up like SEMA so that they're taking over the market. You know, and when you got companies selling with 10,000 salespeople, everybody else can't sell anything. But anyway, that's my story.
Anything really cool there that stuck out besides, you know, the self raising hitch,
which is really heavy.
That was awesome.
Much heavier than WaySafe.
80 pounds. That's not heavy.
Look at this. We have a WaySafe hitch here. I could throw it at Cole right now. It's so light.
Don't throw it at Cole. It's actually being held up by a model wooden truck. It's that light. And the truck is squatting a lot on Jay. So it is heavy on this little model of a truck.
It's kind of a squatty potty.
But anything cool?
Well, everybody's coming out with new stuff. They have to. The ones that don't sell there. You know, if you don't have something new for the dealers every year, and there's a section of those guys, and nobody's going there.
Was there any Overland guys or campers, or is this primarily commercial type
commercial
stuff?
Commercial trucks. There was a few campers, and there was a few of the pop-ups on top of the vehicles. And last year, they had one made out of the sea container, and it just slides on your truck,
really?
And it's an RV. Yeah, it was awesome last year.
Like a shipping container.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys did that last year.
Interesting. So, Roman, before we move on to midsize trucks, because that's also quite interesting, I just wanted to mention that we talked about, you know, who is winning the full-size heavy-duty market, and really it's GM currently. So just to wrap up the story, if you scroll down a little bit, Cole, to the annual sales year-to-date, so GM sold 683,000-plus trucks so far over the 9 months of this year. They were up. And Ford is number two because we're counting GM together, right?
Yeah, right.
Ford is number two, 620,000 trucks. Ford was up 12.7% too.
Yeah.
So a lot of these companies are up. The sales are going up.
Well, sure. And they're all pretty dependable vehicles except for maybe Toyota. But, you know, that when it hurt Ford back when they had the 6-liter, 6.0, that thing, you know, had all those problems, and Ford lost so much business.
The power stroke.
Yeah, and they all went to Dodges basically, and a few Chevys, but you didn't hardly see a Ford at a horse show in a long time. So that's all past them. So they're all kind of going full blast. But look at that, the Lightning still outsells the Hummer by twice.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because the Hummer is so expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah, Hummer's like $120,000 if I remember right. And the Lightning, you can get the base work truck for like $50,000-some.
Yeah.
Well, they make a work truck Lightning?
Yeah, they make a work truck Lightning, yeah. I forget. Right, it's the SV, right? They rebranded it.
STX. So they recently brought an STX Lightning as well, which is a little bit off-roady as well. So, total heavy-duty and full-size truck sales were up 6.3%. That's pretty great. And also in the third quarter, GMC outsold Ram, which hasn't happened in a long time.
No, that's unusual. Ram's probably still rethinking all that.
So Ram,
their
light-duty trucks are doing well, but their heavy-duties need to step up.
I think what's happened with GMC, Andre, is GMC has always tried to position themselves as kind of the premium, call it the luxury version of Chevy. But I think recently they've done a much better job, especially with the Denali, to position themselves and actually not just be marketing, but actually be real. So we have that GMC Canyon AT4X. And I got to say, I just love the use of colors, the use of materials. Before, obviously, if you got a GMC, it was mainly just,
kind of like a badge difference.
Yeah,
it's
a badge
difference.
But I think they finally actually started to do things like add some style, add some substance beyond just slapping, a different logo on the truck.
Well, they used to be that Denali was their top end, and the top end wasn't top for very long. Then everybody else, like two or three of them above that, they finally came out with that. What's the last one called?
Denali Ultimate?
Yeah, that one has impressed people.
So what are they going to do when they need to go above Ultimate? the Ultimate Ultra?
Oh, yeah, the Universal.
Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
Right?
And people do. They still have that thought that the GMCs are more luxurious. And there's probably a few differences when you order them, but they're the same truck.
Yeah, well, I think that's my point. I think they're no longer as similar as they used to be. I think that they've actually gone up and actually, with everything. So even, the plastics are better.
Different screens.
The soft touch materials are better. They do have different, a different face on the infotainment, a different skin, I would say. And so I kind of feel like I am getting a better truck when I buy a GMC because they are getting also more expensive. Once upon a time, a GMC, the differential, right, the delta between a Silverado and a Canyon wasn't all that much. But now
it's growing.
Now it's growing. I want to say that GMC AT4X, compared to a, so this is midsize truck, of course. So the GMC Sierra, sorry, I meant to say Sierra before, now I'm saying Canyon. This Canyon AT4X is almost $10,000 more than the Chevy, than your truck basically,
and the Colorado, ZR2. And I don't know if I would pay that, Roman. If you gave me a comparable, well, if you showed me a Colorado ZR2 and a Canyon AT4X, and there was $10,000 difference between them, but the mechanicals are the same, right? The locking differentials, the engine, the transmission. I don't think I would go for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a big difference.
It is a big difference.
If the difference was smaller, let's say, I don't know, $4,000 or $5,000.
Well, that's where it should be. I understand that.
$10,000 is a big difference.
But you know that in Alley, the dash and all that stuff is real aluminum. The High Country Chevy is plastic. So there's a few small differences in
but
there.
But I don't know if I care. Yeah. I drive an old Russian van.
Well, yeah, okay? you have no...
Well, this is the person who forgot to take cruise control and decanted it in their Colorado on their own.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to thank Sean Du, who is here on live on patreon.com/TFLcar, which is our only Patreon page. So thank you for being here. We have a few people, because we're also streaming this live.
Yeah.
And of course, this is available everywhere. Podcasts are available. And also... everywhere on YouTube.
Well, I want them to know that I'm live, so we should do it live. There's rumors going around.
Yeah, you're far from dead, Kent. So by the way, I'm joking. This is actually an AI version of Kent.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We managed to replicate him from all the Ikes that he ran.
Yeah.
By the way, Kent, you look handsome.
I've got augmentations.
You lost some weight. You're very handsome.
Okay. My new partner, NVIDIA, helped along with Microsoft create an AI Mr. Truck.
Yeah.
Oh, is that why you're so handsome?
Put the SD card in behind my ear.
Just think, Ken, after we're all long gone, we could still be sitting here.
Yeah, we could be. I might blink out once in a while.
Glitch out?
Yeah, be a glitch guy.
So, Cole, let's switch gears to midsize trucks and check it out.
Yeah, midsize trucks are red hot. Red hot!
Yeah, if you thought full-size trucks were hot, the midsize trucks are hotter.
That's true, but the Tacoma at 73,000 still isn't getting near the regular half tons, the light duties. But yeah, that in that class, which is more affordable than the other ones, and a lot of family, that's all they need. They don't need a big work truck or anything that large. But it all depends about trailers. Now, what's the towing capacity on these Tacomas? Is it 5,000?
So a lot of them are 6,400 pounds.
See, that's a good, that's a nice size boat.
Yeah, as soon as you get a little bit over 6,000 pounds on the midsize truck, I think that's doable.
All right, let me ask you this. I have a question for you guys. When Toyota went from the six-cylinder in the Tacoma to the little turbo, everybody lost their you-know-what. Everybody's like, same thing with the 4Runner. Everybody's out there trying to search for last year's model. But when GM did it, basically the same thing with the Colorado and the Canyon, people just yawned and no one seemed to care. So why are people so upset about the six-cylinder going away in a Taco, but really don't give a darn about it going away in the Colorado or the Canyon?
Huh.
Well, we had a big fall.
You know what I mean?
That's interesting. Great. No, that's a really good point.
I just hear a lot of people very upset about the fact that the Taco now has a little turbo.
I don't know if people were yawning necessarily in the GM space, but I think the 3.6 they used to have, you know, the 3.6 V6 that GM midsizers used to have, was kind of a car engine meant for a truck. So I don't know if it was a really great choice for the previous one. So that's quite interesting. But I think that in the Toyota's case, that old V6, specifically the old 4-liter, right, was just known as bulletproof. I mean, old 4Runner, I mean, the previous 4Runner 2024 model had a 5-speed automatic, right, Roman?
Yeah.
That's as old school as you can get.
All right, well, let me just run these numbers in case you can't see them. I'll just go through it. So Toyota Tacoma up 28.3%. GM trucks actually combined are down 12.5%. The Chevy Colorado down 14%. The Frontier up 19%.
And outsold the Ranger.
Ranger.
Yeah, now that's wild.
Yeah, the Jeep Gladiator is up 43%, Andre. I almost fell off my chair when I read it. Of course, this is by percentage, not by volume. So, you know, 43% of a lot is a lot, but 43% of not a lot is still not a lot. Because the Gladiator was almost dead in the water, but now all of a sudden 43%. The Ridgeline is up, actually down 0.1%, and the Canyon is down 0.58%. Total sales are up 11, basically 12%. So let's talk about that. Let's chew on some of that. Let's start with the Gladiator. You just did a video, Andre, where you talked about, you just had a Gladiator, you were in Detroit. So yeah. What the hell is going on with the Gladiator?
So this is an interesting thing. So I reached out to Jeep, corporate, and I said, your Gladiator sales went up 43%. What's going on here? And they pointed, well, they gave me kind of a boilerplate answer.
Yeah, it was like three paragraphs of just PR, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but
people have rediscovered the...
the iconic legend.
Yeah.
But I think
wind in the hair, topless.
Right? You like wind in your hair.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if they had written back and it just three words, only topless pickup.
I think that's what it boils down to.
They do say that quite often.
So I think what happened to the Gladiator over the last couple of years with the previous management that they used to have is that they just kept increasing the price. Remember, we did like a story 2 years ago where you could... a Jeep Gladiator Special Edition was $72,000.
Yeah, I was at Moab and I drove the what was it?
It was like a Rubicon X.
No, it wasn't a Rubicon. It was the Mojave.
Mojave X.
So it was 70. No, I think it was like $76,000.
Oh my god!
And because it's a Mojave, it's a desert runner. They took out the front diff lock.
I know.
So it was decontented.
Yes.
And it was like $76,000. And I saw that. Monroney, and I almost fell off my chair. I was like, you're joking. $70,000+
for a V6.
For a V6.
Basic truck.
Which is more money than the Rubicon without the locker. There were some other things. It had like different bump stops on it, but who cares?
Yeah. So I think that was happening. The sales of the Gladiator were going down because people couldn't stomach, I think, some of those prices.
Right.
But now they pointed down to value, so they bring the price down. So, Cole, if you can open a different tab, I have that orange Gladiator that we did. It's on the website as well. That one, the Willys edition, that started at $45,000.
This is the one. This is when they lent Jeep lent you when you were recently Detroit.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Here it is. That. What do you think about that orange color? By the way,
orange is the new red.
Well, if I'm hunting deer or something, and red is it, kind of
and,
nice.
And red is a new black. Look, just in time for, look, we have an orange GMC. iPhones are orange. Orange and dark green are the two hot colors of the year.
Everybody loves orange today.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
That is a very orange, though. That's not like, our GMC is like a pumpkin, right? That is orange.
Yeah. It's good for if you're in the construction
you're
company, right?
Down, yeah.
So this one started at $45,000. It had several options, like the tonneau cover, the bed liner. Gosh, it had like heated seats and heated steering wheel.
You know fleet sales are going to love this guy.
Yeah, well, yes.
Yeah, the construction truck. Willys is cool, though. I'm glad they brought the name back in there. That's a neat name.
So, by the way, I'm wearing the same thing.
You are.
Can you see that?
Have you been wearing that for like 4 days, that shirt?
I love.
Come on, get serious.
I love flannel shirts.
Yeah, I had one yesterday.
So is it any different on the inside? Does it feel cheaper or is it the
same? No, look at this. It felt good. Cole was with me at this event.
Yeah, it's got the big screen.
Yeah, it's got all the good switches, the rear locking differential, auxiliary switches. So
how much is a tow?
It tows 6,000. So
right.
Maybe, yeah, it's okay. Yeah. So I think that's why. I think they're coming back to value proposition, and I think people are noticing their value.
Yeah, usually Ram and Jeep have a great marketing.
You know,
team.
They should just stick a Hemi in it. Why not? They're doing it.
Yes. Yeah.
Stellantis is sticking Hemis in everything. Put a Hemi in here. You know, the problem with this, let's face it, the problem with the Pentastar, I shouldn't say it's a problem because the Pentastar is a great engine. It's been around forever.
And it's reliable.
I say, Andre, I make a prediction. I will make a prediction right here. Remember the old 4-liter in the Jeep that everybody thinks is one of the greatest American engines ever
designed?
Straight
6.4.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think the Pentastar will have that similar reputation like 10 years from now. Because they put it in everything, right? It's everything from minivans to Chargers to Challengers to Gladiators. It's a really good powertrain, but it would be better with a Hemi.
I think so.
Yeah, all those ones, Jeeps from World War II, had that four-banger, and you cannot wear them out. They never used oil.
The original Hurricane engines.
Oh, look, the CAFE regulations are still there, but the current administration got rid of any penalties. So I say, look, you did it with the Wrangler, right? The 392.
Yeah.
So why don't you stick that engine in here?
Why not a smaller Hemi, a 5.7? Hemi.
No, I'm talking about just if you could fit it in the regular Wrangler, why can't you slap it in
you
here?
You should be able to.
It's the same, right? This is funny, Kent. For a long time, Jeep tried to pull the wool over our eyes, and they kept saying that the Gladiator is not a Wrangler with a bed. it is obviously a Wrangler with a bed.
Well, yeah.
And then like a year ago at the Easter Jeep Safari, Jeep came out and they said, oh, by the way, it's a Wrangler with a bed. We were like, yeah, we all knew that. But yes. Why not stick a 392 Gladiator? I would buy that.
Because it would be $90,000.
No, I wouldn't.
I want a small V8. I want a 5.7.
No, that's too much engineering. You've already engineered for the 392. Put it in the Gladiator and make it a baby TRX. How about that? Cole, come on. Baby TRX. How cool is that?
Cole is shaking his head, yes.
Look, the Ranger has the Raptor, and so now you'd have a competitor, right? And the Raptor, Ranger, how many cylinders?
Six.
And what's better than six?
Eight.
Exactly. This is not hard. Jeep, this is not hard.
This is simple math.
This is simple math. Add two more cylinders, add $20,000 more, right? $10,000 a cylinder. I think people would stomach that. I'm raising my hand as TFL. If you put the big engine in the Gladiator, we will purchase it. We will be the first. I will fly like the TRX when we're the first. I will happily fly to the factory. Where are the Gladiators made?
Toledo, Ohio. Here we come. We're coming.
We will fly there. We will pick it up and drive it across country. Poor Cole always is stuck with these road trips. It'll be me and Andre, and we'll put Cole in the back.
Well, then you'd be the same with Toyota and put a V8 in that.
I'm not joking. I think I came up with this idea kind of on a fluke, but I think it's a hell of a good idea. Somebody at Jeep should be thinking about this.
I think they are. I mean, the TRX is coming back. The Ram TRX is coming back with the Hellcat engine. Why not V8 everything? Mm. V8 everything.
Well, people got used to them. Actually, what was the name of Roman. That big bank robber? John somebody. He wrote Ford a letter.
This is so random, dude. Where do you come up
because
with
the bank it's related because he said he likes a V8. What was his name? John something. Ford congratulated Ford on that V8 because he could rob banks faster. Likes a V8. Everybody.
Well, Roman, Mr. Truck switched from a V6 turbo to a V8.
Yes, I did.
Here's the problem, right? Tim's probably listening to this.
Excuse me?
Tim's probably listening.
Which Tim?
Tim, the CEO. Kiniskis? Yeah, Kiniskis is probably listening to this. And he's thinking to himself, now that Roman's come up with this idea, I'm going to take it and put it in the Ram midsize truck, which we know is coming.
V8 Dakota?
Exactly. And steal it from Jeep. So all you Jeep people.
Oh, Clyde used a V8?
No, it was the other guy, John something. He got shot in a theater, so it doesn't really matter.
Jesus. Now we're really dating ourselves. This is like 1920 or something. Oh, yeah, my God.
It's still Ford appreciates somebody liking his Charles V8.
So, it was Clyde Barrow.
No, there's another one, John something. He got shot in the theater.
So Kiniskis is thinking, I'm going to steal that idea. So Jeep, if you're listening, slam that 392 in the Gladiator before Kiniskis can take it for Ram, and you're gonna have people lining
make
up.
Make some hay.
Hey, in the comments below, if you're listening to this or watching it, let us know if you would buy V8 a 392 Gladiator.
Yes.
Yeah, and you figure it wouldn't be hard to do. It wouldn't be hard. You might have to do a.
You're
little
right. It already exists in the Jeep.
And imagine how much that bad boy would tow.
I don't know if people would care.
I think people would care. I think you're right. I think
it's the sound of it, the performance of it. The off-road ability of it.
Yeah, and Ford with the Raptor Ranger would be left out in the cold.
There you go.
And then, GMC's got the, the top dog, it's called...
Well, they have AV and the AV Bison. Edition, right? And Bison.
Yeah, so they have the AV edition, but that still only has that little turbo four-cylinder in it.
Yeah, and so it's not any more powerful.
Yeah, and it's rolling on 35s, right? Imagine you could roll 35s on. Can you get a Gladiator with 35s to the factory?
Not right now.
Why not?
Exactly, Jeep. Why not?
Why not? This is so easy. This is so freaking easy. You've already done all the engine. I remember when the 392 came out, and we were talking with the chief engineers, and they were like, this was not easy, shoehorning this big V8 under the hood of a Wrangler.
But they did it.
They had to move all sorts of suspension pieces. They had to shift the chassis membrane, the chassis struts around, cross member, sorry. They had to shift the cross member around because it was a much bigger engine. They've done all that work, so now just do it. Do it. Just do it. I think I'm stealing the Nike.
It's pretty simple. Right,
I have beaten that horse to death. So let's keep going.
We're good.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. What the hell's happening with Frontier? Why is Frontier through the? Why is Frontier selling?
Yeah. Why is Frontier through the roof?
Well, they must be cheap because you know that they redesigned that truck and the sales were taken off for a couple of years, but then it kind of backed off.
I think they probably ran really aggressive pricing. You're absolutely right.
I think that's
Roman,
what it
takes. I was just on the Nissan side. Their Frontier starts at $32,000, which is not the lowest, maybe.
For two-wheel drive?
Yeah, two-wheel drive.
No Pro X.
No. But still, you know, I think Nissan can do this. They have the best value. If you look at the top dog Frontier Pro 4X right now, it's about, what, low 50, like 51,000. If you compare it to the hybrid Tacoma TRD Pro, that's like, dude, 65,000, right? So that's a big difference.
Well, yeah, and you know, the last model they had that they kept forever, that was all about value. You can buy them so cheap, and so they sold the crap out of them. They had good numbers.
It also could be that they're picking up sales from Tacoma because people want that six-cylinder as opposed to the little turbo four. You think that could be it?
It could be because the Frontier still has the V6,
yeah, exactly,
which is kind of traditional engine. But GM, I think they had a shortage on some of the components. I don't remember exactly how it affected them, but they are down, unfortunately, in sales for General Motors. But Tacoma, what is happening? Why is it up 28%?
I don't know. It's crazy. Well, that is a nice truck. Got power seats are off the ground. There's so many things I like about that truck that they.
Oh yeah, the red isodynamic seats that cradle you.
Yeah, but they're also off the ground. You don't have to lay on the floor anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a suggestion for Nissan. You know how they're struggling right now and they need to cut costs.
Yeah.
You know how they have the Pro 4X.
Pro double X.
No, just get rid of the X. That way you save on printing costs. Just go Pro X. Isn't that cooler, Pro X as opposed to Pro 4X? I think just Pro X. That there's something more like. Poetic about that. And that way you don't have to, you know, put X's on all over all of your thousands of trucks and you can save a little bit of money. Just Pro X.
I think they should put a V8.
How about PX? You could save more with PX.
No, I don't like it.
I think you have to eat it.
Or how about just X? Then you're like Musk. Everything is X.
I like simple X. But I think V8, Roman, is the answer.
In the Frontier?
Yes.
They don't have a V8.
I know, not anymore.
Unless you take, there's not even in any of their trucks. There's no
V8. Because they had the beautiful 5.6 V8 and the Titan. Yeah. And then they killed it.
Well, they could bring it back, like the Hemi.
I guess they could.
Yeah, but that was a thirsty engine.
Thirsty engine.
Let's talk about that, by the way. This is something, this is another hot take, okay? And you're going to hate this, Ken, but I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to say, and we own V8 trucks, and I love V8, so let me preface it by that. But there's a reason that the Hemi went away and that the Coyote is not the best-selling truck in Ford's lineup. And that is because these V8s, as much as people love V8s in their pickup trucks, are less powerful and are more thirsty than the twin-turbo V6 equivalent of that. And I've seen that in our Coyote. When we've been towing, Andre, you have to admit it, the twin-turbo EcoBoost in the Ford F-150 is a much better towing rig than the Coyote.
I say yes in the mountains.
That depends on your axle ratio.
Twin turbos?
Yeah.
Twin turbos in the mountains. Nothing beats twin turbos.
Apples to apple, 3.73 to 3.73.
Well, I've had them. I've had that last one, and it blew up at 130,000 miles. Cam phasers three times.
You just made my point, Ken.
But that's on the V6. It was on the Coyote.
Oh, it was a V6?
That's why I have a Coyote now, yes.
Wait, how many miles did it blow up at?
Oh, 130. Well, that was the third time it blew up. Three cam phasers three different times.
I hope not Mike's not listening to this.
But no,
you're going to get a phone call.
if you look at them, Ford didn't push the V8. They hardly even talk about it. They pushed that V6 forever. You know, you never saw any ads about the V8. And that's how they did it. It's how they marketed. They wanted to sell more of those. And that somehow was what they wanted to do. You go to car lots, you don't see a V8 on any of them. I had to wait for mine. So I don't know. I think it's.
Why are they doing that? Why are they pushing the 6?
I thought they made more money off the V6, probably.
It's probably more complicated.
Well, yeah, but
they got two turbos, right? You've got
a
lot more cooling.
Torque is intoxicating.
But your point is
not
why,
the sound.
When I made my decision in 2018 and got that V6, the everything was higher, towing everything. So that's why I picked it then. But now the fuel mileage, actually, I'm 1 mile a gallon higher than what the 3.6 is.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, 3.5. So they're getting better on the V8. Man, goodness gracious. So I get 30.
Roman, our F-150 Tremor is really good on fuel, actually.
It's good on fuel when you're not towing.
Exactly.
When you're towing, they're both pretty bad.
Goodbye.
Well, nothing is good. That's how they are.
They're both pretty bad.
Inline diesel to go.
But I think
towing.
But I specifically bring this up because everybody's like, we want the Hemi back. And let's face it, the Hemi is just a great marketing name, right? It's just a hemispherical chamber. There's no magic.
It's a great name.
Citroën was putting these things into the 2CV back in the 30s, all right? So there's no magic in a Hemi except for the fact that everybody...
Tatra used to do it, too.
Yeah, Tatra. Our old Tatra had a Hemi, too. Yeah. This is old technology, but it's great marketing. And so people are like, hey, I got a Hemi. Remember those commercials? You should remember those. This is all up your street. Remember those commercials?
Well, I know. That's what sells, what they advertise.
You remember when the guy pulls up and he goes, I got a Hemi.
That thing got a Hemi.
Yeah, thank God. Remember those?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
but they had them. In farm trucks. They had them in everything.
Anyway, let's just compare numbers. All right. So, how much horsepower in the Hemi, Andre?
395.
How much in the Hurricane?
420.
How much in the Hurricane in the RHO?
But 540.
Exactly. Need I say more?
But I think the story is also in the torque, right? The V8 engine makes decent torque, 410 pound-feet, right? But you have to spool up the engine, right? The engine has to be at like 4,000 RPM or more in a V8.
You really think the V6 is lower?
Maximum torque in the twin-turbo engines is around 2,500 RPM. So the torque comes in much sooner. You could climb the mountain with a trailer in a turbocharged engine way easier with low RPM, right, than any V8 engine. So
I think... A turbo helps you on that.
So I think it's intoxicating because you feel like you have so much power in a turbocharged engine. And the V8 is just nostalgia, right? But both Ram, GM, all of them now offer V8s.
All right, and here's the other question. Why can't I hear the V8 in our F-150? It's so quiet. It is so quiet, even when towing, that I'm like, I don't know what. If you close my eyes, and you put me in that truck and you told me to floor it, I would not believe that that's a V8. It's so quiet. Why aren't they making it more like you know, throaty?
Us old farts like that. Quiet
that's your fault.
That's quiet. That's nice. But yeah, it's a little different.
Is yours quiet too?
Yeah,
they're
very quiet.
Yeah, too quiet. Too damn quiet. Too much.
But, you know, Ruben keeps wanting me to put some pipes on it. But, you know, the thing with it is
straight pipe it. Come on.
The V8, that one has been so dependable. I mean, look at the people race. They buy that engine. People love that engine. They can build it from the top up.
Well,
that's a famous engine for years.
The 5-liter?
Yeah, the 5-liter.
The one thing I will say, and I think this is true, unlike Hemi, Ford has improved and continuously developed the Coyote. So today's Coyote is not the same Coyote that was in a truck from 10 years ago.
If they're still solid engines, you know.
Yeah, like, I'm not Toyota's saying it's not. I'm just saying it's good. They keep developing it. They keep
updating it.
Like in the Mustang, you get dual throttle bodies with the same engine. Of course, that's another problem I have. Why is it 480 horsepower in the Mustang? And only 400
in the truck.
20 or 400 in the truck. Probably longevity. They're
tuned different.
Yeah, they're probably tuned different.
If we're towing trailers, Mustang's probably not.
No, the Mustang. That'd be a good video, by the way.
Yeah.
I tow a trailer with my Mustang.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? I'm like, same engine. Why does one have 80 horsepower less? Why, Ford? Why?
Well, yeah, look at the heavy duties. They rate all that lower.
All right. So you're saying, this is what you're saying. Classics. This is the argument you're making. You're saying, or this is Ford's argument, that you're detuning it for the truck so that it lasts longer, right? That's the glasses half full.
And also the torque curves are different.
But I could be the glasses half empty. So does that mean that the Mustang will last less?
Well, it could be. I mean, high RPMs are hard on anything. But, you know, when they do trucks, big trucks, let's say at least a 450 or a 3500, 4500, the way they do emissions is totally different. So they have those lot less power. Once you go out,
emissions don't matter anymore, Ken.
Well, they do. They do in the heavy duties. In the 450s, 4500, 55, they don't rate them the same, so they always lower the horsepower because they don't know what kind of thing you're going to put on the back of those cabin chassis. So they have dramatically. So people are really shocked when they go get a Hemi and then they go get a one to put in their shop, you know, that they're gutless, they don't have nearly the power. So that's a big thing with the heavy duties.
I have another hot take. Actually, I have two more hot takes for you before we light the candles and celebrate. Can I give you two
Wait,
more hot
can
takes?
We talk about Maverick? No.
Talk about Maverick. Talk about Maverick. You're right. Yeah, people don't want to hear my hot takes. Well, talk about Maverick.
Mavericks will tow 4,000 pounds. It used
yes.
to tow like 100.
It's equipped properly. With the towing package.
It used to be 100 or 1,000. 4,000 pounds.
Can you scroll a little bit more to the bottom for total Maverick sales? So, Roman, just to address one of your comments, I think... So imagine the use case is different, right? Yeah. In the Mustang, you're probably going to the drag strip and you're flooring that engine for about 12 seconds.
Yeah, no one's going to
Listen to my point. You're flooring that engine for 12 seconds, you run the quarter mile, and that's kind of the sports car.
Yeah, no one's doing that. I don't believe it.
But in the truck, you're pulling 10,000 pounds up a mountain, so that engine is working hotter for longer periods of time. So,
I get that.
So I think that's why you kind of have to detune it.
You see what I'm saying? First of all, we're going to go drag racing in Denver. The drag strip is closed, which is happening not just in Denver, by the way. It's happening everywhere.
Every street light. You could race at every street light.
No, you're not going to race it, though. The only time people... Another hot take. I'm just full of hot takes today. The only time people are actually, like, you know, hot... racing Mustangs is when they leave Cars and Coffee, because every Mustang leaving a Cars and Coffee ends up. Yeah? Mustangs,
yeah? There's a lot of street racing. All right.
Cole says come down to Santa Fe.
His neighborhood. In Cole's neighborhood.
So now that Vandermeer is gone, they have no choice but to race. That's true. My wife used to live in downtown LA all night. All night, man. The whole night. You're right. Okay. I take that back. All right. Go ahead. What about the Maverick? Is that it? It's just selling well?
The sales are very high.
So Tacoma is going for like best year ever, right? They might sell 260,000 plus. Maverick is also heading for almost best year ever. So far, they sold 121,000.
Yeah, that's very good for that truck. Very good.
So
we lost a lot of money in our Maverick, by the way.
Really?
How much did we lose? Like 7, five grand? Seven?
Wow. Seven, give or take, seven. We bought it for 37 plus, and we sold it for 31.
Oh, you didn't get the $19,000 one.
No, we can't get that anymore. So in like 6 months, we lost almost $7,000 on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I see we put on 10,000 miles.
I think we need to...
How about percentages, then?
Wheel and deal.
What percentage?
More.
What
20% we lost?
You think we can actually wheel and deal, I don't think you can wheel and deal.
I think we couldn't wheel and deal. So
I think we could have sold it ourselves and not traded it back to the dealer.
Yes.
That would have been. But then you don't get the tax... Credit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tax benefit out of it. But also, we usually buy trucks first. We were the first people with a hybrid Maverick all-wheel drive.
We were.
And that costs money.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't go into the dealership and there's the first truck ever in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, that would
and you can't say, oh, give
buy.
Me $3,000 off of it. It's demand.
Yeah. That's a very
it's
good demand. Point, Andre.
Does the Hyundai still make a truck?
Yes, they still make the Santa Cruz.
Yes, they do. But they're not doing so well.
Yeah.
The Hyundai Santa Cruz is down by, 18%?
You know who's building a truck? Hyundai, they announced.
Yeah, Kia and Hyundai want to get into mid-size trucks.
Yeah, they're going to build a truck. Body on frame.
Well, you know, that's an old... I go to these horse stands all the time, and I'd had women come up to me. Like, up my truck. They want truck advice and trailer advice. Yeah, and then they would say, you know... If Honda made a dually diesel, I would buy it. And
what?
A bunch of them said that. They love their Hondas and their Toyotas are dependable, but they don't think the American ones are, so they want us to go to China.
The Japanese don't understand why we want such huge trucks to begin with.
Well, sure. Even their semis are small over there.
Yeah, I think Toyota is probably the one that should be building an HD truck, right?
Who?
Toyota. Because they already have a full size, and they should be doing an HD truck. I think they could compete because at least when I talk to the manufacturers, they're always like, the biggest goal is for people to stay within our brand. So let's say you're down Texas, which is where most trucks are sold, right? 25% of all trucks. And you started out as a college kid driving a Tacoma, and then when you got married and you got kids, you need a little bit bigger truck to haul the family, you got yourself a Tundra.
Yeah.
And now you got that camper, you got that horse trailer, and it weighs 15,000 pounds, and you go to your Toyota dealership and you're
There's
like,
nothing.
Hey, what do I do? And
they don't know.
Yeah, and then that's when you go across the street to Ford or GM.
Yeah, right. And Ram.
And buy yourself or Ram and buy yourself an HD truck.
Yeah, but you know.
But the Japanese, I think the corporate people in Japan look at like the HD trucks and just scratch and their head.
Yeah, well, doesn't they saw what
happened to
Titan.
They saw Titan. They were trying to get a heavier truck.
Yeah.
But you know, I've seen their prototype. They had
Hino, Hino, yeah.
That was made into a dually, and they were saying this is the future Toyota heavy duty. And they showed it at shows, and I saw it somewhere. But I think that Nissan taught them a lesson that they're not quite ready for it.
All right, one last question before we light up the cake. Would a Toyota heavy duty, let's say 2500 truck sell?
Yes.
I would say yes.
I agree.
So, I think it would do really well. I think it would do really, really well.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, yes, all the women are going to buy it.
But they are. All the cowboys.
The cowgirls. They pull those big horse trailers.
You're
right about that. Actually, I'm making fun of you, but you're right. They do pull the big horse trailers. You're exactly right.
So there's.
And finally, folks, before we light candles and celebrate 300th episode, and then. By the way, I'm getting hungry looking at this cake.
I know.
I've been smelling it in the room the whole time. I'm getting a sugar high just sitting here.
By the way, you can tell
by my energy.
How'd you get that? That's what I need. I need that energy.
Sniffing cake, people.
Sniffing cake.
Sniffing cake is the latest. It's the latest and greatest. So full-size trucks were up overall. Mid-size trucks are up in a big way. And now full-size SUVs are also up in a big way.
Yeah, that's cool.
If I look at these numbers, the economy is doing pretty well because, for example, can you go to the SUV?
It makes no sense because in the news what you're hearing is that people are taking out, oh my gosh, eight-year loans
on their vehicle.
I know that there's more and more defaults on these loans now. So the two are kind of
counterintuitive. No, we don't care about cars, Cole. Delete cars. Only trucks.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of counterintuitive. So people are buying these very expensive, big-ass truck-based SUVs, and yet, you know, auto loans are defaulting at a new rate. Car financing companies are going out of business. How do you square those two?
I don't know, because they are very expensive. But what is that wagon here? It's really expensive. But
it starts at like $67,000 and goes to like $100,000.
Yeah, I know those other ones are out there.
Here's one last hot take before we light it up. I hate towing with big trucks. I mean, big SUV-based crossovers or SUVs. Big truck-based SUVs, I hate towing with them.
Why?
Oh, I love it.
Really?
I think they're great.
Like a Suburban or something?
Yeah. We just towed
with the Nissan Armada.
And QX80 Infiniti.
And it wasn't great.
Yeah, I've done the Armada before, but did you have a weight distributing hitch?
We did.
You had all set up right?
Yeah.
I think the issue has to do, and this is true for all small displacement turbocharged engines, because Nissan switched to twin turbos, right? Yeah. Again, they're on the downhill; they don't perform quite as well.
Yeah,
you know the brake applications that we count on the iGauntlet.
Yeah,
there's not enough like back pressure there because they don't have exhaust brakes on these, you know, light duty engines.
No gas engine does.
I just
feel like. Even though they're based on a truck, a lot of them are, right?
Yeah, if they have
I just feel like a truck, like when the engineers get together and design a new truck, right, they say to themselves, okay, what we need to do is have a vehicle that tows and hauls. That's what they say to themselves, and let's make it the best towing and hauling vehicle that we can. When they design the Suburban or the Tahoe, they say, you know what, we need a big-ass SUV that fits a lot of people and has a lot of room for a lot of stuff. And then the towing and hauling kind of are secondary. And that's why I don't like towing with them. I don't think that they're a specialty tool for that. I think they do it, but I think the trucks are actually designed to do it and to thrive doing it while these are kind of an afterthought.
Well, you didn't use a GM though, right?
It doesn't matter.
Well, GM has airbags in the back. They can level themselves.
Yeah, that's true. I think it could be a navigator.
Armada does that, but that's a big deal. Trailers.
It could be a navigator. It could be any of the Ford products. I don't care. I just don't like towing with them. I don't. Sorry. Mm. Don't enjoy it. I love towing with trucks. Don't enjoy
You'd rather
towing
drive
with
a
big
Corvette.
Ass SUVs.
You're more of a Corvette guy.
Yeah, I can tow with a Corvette.
I brought
the Corvette today, Andre, so he saw me in the Corvette.
Oh, I see.
We'll put a hitch on that one.
Yeah.
Oh.
uh-huh. Now you're giving me shit. See, he's coming back to life. We woke him up a little bit.
Oh, he's sniffing cake right now.
You're sniffing cake too.
I'm hungry. I've ate 2 days.
Well, do you like towing with these? Seriously, do you like towing with the big SUVs?
I do. I like fair? Bigger mirrors than what's out there. They don't have much of a towing mirror. Here, yeah. But that's my
How about you,
problem.
Andre?
Do I like towing with them?
Yeah, if you had to tow something, you've got to tow, let's say, let's not make it crazy because they don't tow that much. Let's say you got to tow like a 8,000-pound trailer. Would you rather have a Suburban or would you rather have a Silverado?
1,500?
Yeah.
I would like, I would prefer a pickup truck for the longer wheelbase, more stability. I would.
Well, half tons are pretty close to them.
You've actually enunciated what I couldn't, so thank you.
You're welcome. But I think there's still value in having a big SUV, right?
Well,
You could carry 7 people,
yeah,
and you can bring a trailer with you as well.
A lot of rallies. Yeah, but see, so, they're only when the Expedition did that because they went to independent rear suspension. We never liked that because it's like an Elvis pelvis because it moved too much with the trailer. Really, it did.
Elvis.
Moved too much. But they've done a bunch of things with their computers, and now it sits still. It used to be you did this the whole time down the road. I should get up and show you.
But they fixed it.
Yeah, they fixed
Don't
it.
Don't show your pelvis,
no.
Please.
So they fixed it.
No,
so
but they fixed it. He's right. You know, the coil springs instead of the leaves would not – be as stable, but I think they're doing better jobs now.
They're much better. So
they're doing
I
better
they're
jobs.
Very close to a half
time. When people get to a certain age, Kent, and I'm looking at you.
Wow.
And they I have gray hair.
And they retire.
Yeah.
And they're like in Texas maybe, and they decide that what they want to go do is be snowbird somewhere.
Right.
And then they go get themselves a big ass camper. Right.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
They get themselves a big ass camper. They inevitably don't get a Suburban. They don't get a Tahoe. They don't get a Navigator. They don't get an Atlas.
Get a Denali heavy duty.
No,
exactly.
They get
a Class C motorhomes. What they do?
Well, that too.
If it's a camper or a big ass fifth wheel, they get a heavy duty truck. That's what they get.
It's and then
they
fifth
get
wheel, yeah.
And then they get the most expensive, biggest diesel they can afford. Right. That's what people do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
You see a lot of them. Yeah. You see a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, they have no reason for a big Suburban because they don't have it. The grandkids don't visit them.
I don't have grandkids yet. Thank God.
I hope I'm getting close enough to the speaker.
You're doing.
Okay.
Well, it's too late.
Anyway, let's light the cake. 300 episodes, boys. We got to celebrate this. And thank you guys out there for actually making this possible and for listening to us for how many years, Andre's 300 episodes?
Well, 5.5 years. 5.5 years.
Yeah, and you've had
I've
gone.
But we don't. Do we have candles?
I'm looking.
It's right there.
Ah, you found it. Thank you, Cole.
Down. Left.
There it is.
Oh, you got
Don't start the studio on fire.
Light a fire.
You get to blow this out, Kent, because you've been part of this team the whole time.
I did quit smoking. Maybe I can.
Did you?
Smoking cigars, yeah.
Even cigars?
Doctor said no more.
Yeah, well. Do you miss it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm out of fuel, guys. I'm out of fuel.
I've got one in the truck, I think. That's a long way.
We had it.
Oh, you had it.
Don't
you have, like, rocks you can rub together, Andre?
There you go. You're listening to this at home. Andre is diligently trying to light a 3, a 0, and a 0 on top of. I believe, is that a tiramisu cake, Andre?
No, I felt a tiramisu would be too fancy for truckers.
Yeah.
So this is a tuxedo chocolate cake.
Tuxedo chocolate. So now that I'm Italian desserts for us. Or is it Italian?
Well, the truckers, we like hot dogs.
Oh, Roman, the problem is your air conditioner is too powerful in this room.
Oh, no. Andre, do it again.
One more. Oh, anyway. Kent, you got one more to blow off. That's all. Nice. Oh, no. All right.
You did it.
Thank you for not smoking cigars.
Hey. So now we'll hear also a message from our friend Nathan.
Yeah, well, we munched down on, what did you call this cake? Tuxedo cake?
Tuxedo chocolate, yes.
Well, we munched down on tuxedo. Let's roll Nathan's, and for all of you watching this on Patreon, sorry, but we can't roll Nathan's video. But you can
for
go
you.
To alltfl.com, or you can listen to it on all of your favorite podcast outlets, including Spotify, Apple, And where else are we, Cole? Everywhere, right?
Everywhere.
And then if you guys are listening to this and you want to check out more of Andre and myself, we just did a podcast on TFL Car Chat, where we discussed the vehicles that we bought and own this year and gave our hot take on all the stuff that we bought this year and what we loved about it and what we didn't. Thank you, Andre. You're doing a great job of cutting it. And thank you, Ken, for coming in.
Well,
and thank
certainly.
You, Ken, for buying the thank you, Andre, for buying the cake. And thank you, Cole, for producing this episode. And thank you guys for watching. We'll see you next time.
And thank you to Case and the rest of the team as well.
And don't forget about Mr. Truck, star.mrtruck.com.
Oh, don't forget about Mr. Truck.
Don't forget about Mr. Truck. Ken, how can we forget about Mr. Truck? That would be
impossible.
Impossible. We'll see you next time.
Especially AI generated.
Yes. Nathan, take it away, my man.
Howdy, guys. Yeah, it's that time. 300, magical number. I'm very, very proud of the team. I got to tell you, now I'm in California, in Los Angeles. This is my own choice, by the way, moving out here. Just in case you were wondering, family and palm trees and drinks and coconuts. That's really cool. Lots of these types of shirts too. So the reason I mention that is because the team at TFL, from the beginning, have been the hardest working out there. If you ever went to an event where we were there hanging out, you would see that during lunch breaks, whenever we could film, we were out there filming and filming and filming. So I'm a very competitive guy, and I love to see that the team, TFL, hardest working guys out there, still are, except for me. And with TFL Truck, Andre came in and really took the reins and made it grow, and credit to him and his super hard work. Andre is a very hard worker, and he plays hard too. So rather than getting into like embarrassing stories, which is initially what I wanted to do, talking about flooding, you know, vehicles or driving off cliffs or whatever, I wanted to talk about the main team members that I've worked with and just some fond memories that I have of them because, hey, you know, we've done a lot with Truck, and Truck is now one of our biggest channels. And it's thanks to you guys out there as well. The audience, you guys have responded. You helped us out when we were down. You've supported us all the way through. It's an honor to make videos for you guys. That's half the fun, right? So the other part of this whole thing is a couple memories, and I wanted to throw them at you while I have a couple minutes, while I'm here in Los Angeles drinking Mai Tais and wearing Hawaiian shirts and having better food, no snow, and palm trees. messing around. So first, the first memory, it comes up a lot because it actually entailed injury and fire, two things that happened. It was about 10 years ago. And so early days of TFL Truck, not the earliest, but earlier days. And this was with Andre and Mr. Truck, you Kent. And we went to pick up a half track, a military half track, a vehicle that... Well, frankly speaking, was extremely heavy and hard to move. Now, I'm not going to go over all the details of the video. You guys can watch it. It's still out there on TFL Truck. And we used it as weight. So for the Ike Gauntlet, and we were running at the time all of these awards, we used that as the weight on our flatbed trailer. And it was really super cool to look at, but it was really super hard to move. So much so that I nearly lit everybody on fire more than once, had to use a fire extinguisher. That's all on video, by the way. It's a misadventure video. And what you didn't see in the video was that I tore my calf muscles jumping off it at one point when I didn't jump off it the right way. And I was really screwed up with my leg. That it's an irony because all the things I've had done to my foot, this had nothing to do with it. And boy, was my wife mad. But anyway, that was both Mr. Truck and with, of course, Andre. And the guys were so supportive. We did everything we could to get the thing on there. We actually managed to do it with some ingenuity. Fun videos to watch. Memory I have with Roman, it's kind of a truck thing, but it's also a car thing. Way back in the day, and this is about 9 years ago, so about a year after that, I guess, roughly, Roman went out and bought a Tatra 603. And he bought it from his home, the Czech Republic. So between eating weird potato things and playing little squeeze box things and the weird funny hats they wear, he jumped in one of these, bought it with Tommy, and they actually drove it from the Czech Republic over to Germany, put it on a roll-on, roll-off, brought it to the United States. We, TFL, the team, picked it up in the East Coast. And getting there, just getting there, was a misadventure. And what we had was the original Raptor, which, by the way, still amazing truck. That thing was great. And we took a trailer. We had to go through Washington, D.C., all these other things getting there. That was all a pain. We get over to the East Coast, and the whole purpose was to put this Tatra 603, this old car that would be hard to drive across the United States. Well, we put it onto the trailer to get it out of the area that it was located at the docks. Well, turns out that you're only required to get it out of the trailer, on the trailer, out of the docks, and that's it. Once you're done, do whatever. So we took it off the trailer and fired it up, and we drove it across the United States. And it was a hell of an adventure. Emmy Hall was with us at the time, and it was really fun, but it was also scary and sketchy all at the same time. All of us put a lot of miles in with that car, and all of us drove that Ford Raptor quite a bit, and that's including Roman. And look, you know, I make fun of him a lot, but Roman is an extremely hard-working guy, and he takes certain things very seriously. Got to have meals, got to sit down and have those meals. Got to have your moments where he's professional, right? But there was nothing quite as amusing as finding out that his shoes got stolen in the middle of the desert. I don't remember the name of the actual area we were in, but it was some random desert hotel in the middle of BF Egypt. And we left, realizing he left his shoes behind. We weren't gone for more than a few minutes, and those shoes were gone. They had no idea what we were talking about. And apparently those were pretty expensive shoes. And Roman was really, really angry, which made the rest of the trip so much fun. But it was just a memory that sticks in my head because, you know, everything was like, you know, I want this to work and work, work, work. And then all of a sudden something really crazy goes on. And then, you know, grumpily while you were chewing on a burger 1,000 miles away, shoes are still there. You know, it's just, you had to be there for it. But it was a fond memory too, because that trip culminated in us getting to Pebble Beach and having this really cool car that was supposed to be in a special class. And they closed the gates on us, and we had to actually go to Legends of the Autobahn in order to show that car. So that was really fun. And final one is with the rest of the crew, Case and, of course, Tommy. And they're fun guys to work with. I get a real kick out of both Tommy and Case because I knew Tommy since he was 12. And he's truly a car guy, like a car nerd freak. And so I've always had a fun time, teasing him about, puberty and whatnot. But with Case has always been just like an action hero who happens to work for us, and I'm thrilled about that. And when I grow up, I want to be Case as well. We all do at TFL. So those are all the guys I've worked with at TFL Truck. 300 episodes. It's incredible. I'm absolutely over the moon that we're doing it. We're still rocking it. I'm still part of the team, even though I'm being a lazy so-and-so over here in California. And I hope to do a lot more in the future. So thank you, guys. I'll see you later.